Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I can't talk over the national anthem, Curtis. Come on, let this play. Reading the Twittersphere, Curtis, both the new child of Derek White and also Robert Williams are both named Hendrix, H-E-N-D-R-I-X. How is that possible?
Well,
that is bizarre.
That is very, very strange.
So,
are you sure that that's accurate?
No, I'm not sure that's accurate.
Well,
that's what
Derek
people are
White
tweeting
said
about.
That his kid was going to be Hendrix 2.0, so I think it's accurate.
That is, how about that? What a name. It's the Celtics team name.
Oh, man.
Have you considered Hendrix for your young lad?
I haven't because of the gin correlation, but I remember there's, who's the guy, playoff Lenny on the
Lenny DiNardo.
No, he certainly was not playoff Lenny DiNardo. That was a good pull by you. The guy on the Bucks. Leonard Fournette, and his brother is Leonard Fournette. I kid you not.
Is that really?
Leonard and Leonard.
That's awesome.
Kind of like Madison Bumgarner dating a Madison Bumgarner.
Or George Foreman's kids are all named George.
That's right. Well, like one of my mom's good friends forever was Tutti, T-U-T-I, but it was her nickname because she was Maria and her last name was a Spanish last name. She's from Puerto Rico and all the girls are named Maria, but they have a nickname. It's very, I don't know. Who knows? It's a different world out there, but.
Is your son actually going to be named Brady? We've avoided Brady talk all day today, by the way.
No. Hey, by the way, this is not me being an ego. I'm not. Please. A tough job. But I did a top five list of most authentically Boston. I don't know exactly how I termed it. And I left Brady off of it because he was not ever someone that was like all about the city of Boston when they played here.
Wow, I missed that list.
Yeah, I had it was early. So Greg was going to get back to it, but we got busy with, you know, something. So it was Sean Thornton was number five.
What's the list again?
So it was in anticipation of our Paul Pierce interview on Thursday.
Yep, great interview. Good get by Wiggy.
Great get by Wiggy. And so I viewed Pierce as one of those guys that came here, got it, fought through it, won, and is beloved. Mm-hmm. Like a true Boston icon.
Yep.
And he was a guy who was from L.A., grew up a Lakers fan, couldn't have been further removed from the city, dealt with incredible adversity as a member of the Celtics, getting stabbed in the nightclub, all the story. We all know it. So in honor of that interview, I did the top five. Five was Sean Thornton. Four was Pedroia, which I got a little pushback for.
Wow.
Three was Vince Wilfork.
Ooh.
Two was Paul Pierce, and number one was Poppy.
Good list. That's a very good list.
So that was the thought process in that. And I think that that's...
Modern era, you're not going back to Ted.
Right, my lifetime, people that I have seen in the city and in around it. But it is the Pierce interview, and he was great, and Wiggy, you know, awesome. You could tell Paul and Wiggy have a relationship, and Paul is very, you know, unvarnished in his commentary. And he was talking about... hearing him talk about playing in Boston... It just is like, I want to just play that for everybody that's complained about playing here. Like, all people here care about is that you try your best, and you're accountable. That's it. Obviously, you know, you get some more. You know, you get a guy like Brock Holt, who comes here and is like at everything, helping the Jimmy Fund constantly. Obviously, that's great. Mm-hmm. But in general, if you show up, you try hard, and you're accountable, and you win. But even if you don't win, but if you do those two things, you're going to be respected by the fan base. But it's not fake. You can't fake it. You have to do it. And to hear a guy like Paul and all of the roadblocks along the way, from Patino to, you know, the hellish period of Celtics history that was in, and you're here, and you know as a Celtic, the only way you're going to be remembered is if you win a title. With the way the history is written of that organization, you have to win. And to never leave until he got one, and it just, I don't know, it just really made me appreciate Paul. And it made me really critical of those that have come and complained and left without doing anything.
It's what makes Marcus Smart the most interesting Celtic, really, when you think about if this team wins, how he'll be viewed, or if they don't, how he'll be viewed.
Right.
I mean, he was almost the total GOAT game five, blew it twice at the end. Then, you know, Tatum had his game. But all of a sudden, now game two is the Marcus Smart game of this round. He's talking afterwards that I'm the leader, basically. I run the show. You know, I finally ascended. That's what I've been doing. Run the team. Whether he means point guard, run the team on the floor, or run the team in terms of leader, whatever it is. He talks a lot.
Right.
He thinks very highly of himself.
And he feels that way. I mean, I guess he believes that he's the straw that stirs the drink.
But, you know.
Is that why they're all named Hendricks?
That's why. I think so.
That is so weird. They have the same name?
Right. You would think Deuce. They would just double down on Deuce.
Right. I mean, I'm going with Brees because I've never heard it before from my son.
Good call. Very good call. Anyway, you want to talk Celtics, 617-779-7937.
And I got a lot of Trot Nixon complaints. I'm sorry. I love Trot. We all love Trot.
Trot.
But I just, you know.
I don't know. Carl Everett votes. I love Carl Everett in college.
Carl Everett, that moment in that, just with that umpire, oh my God. But that's another good, we should do the 90s book, the Carl Everett era. God, was he awful.
Was great era. Now, the Bruins are in a strange spot. I don't want to spend too much time on the Bruins, but they did just get eliminated last weekend, beyond my expectations. I thought they were better than Carolina.
Yep.
They proved not to be. They couldn't win a game there. In a way, I came away from the series blaming Cassidy, because I just feel like they should have beat Carolina, who, you know, right now they're up 2-0 on the Rangers, so they're looking better, but I think they're going to lose to whoever gets out of the, you know, the other. Basically, winner of Tampa and Florida is going to go to the Cup Finals.
Correct.
So, missed opportunity. You had momentum. You couldn't score. And I don't think Cassidy's playoff imagination is there. He doesn't line change. He doesn't do anything creative. He could not get the Bergeron line going in four games on the road, 0-4.
Yep.
So, I think it's enough to consider firing him. Now, weird press conferences this week with Neely and Sweeney, who both criticized Cassidy in a way about things that he wasn't doing. Not enough offense, not getting to the front of the net, a couple other vague criticisms. And then just avoided the subject in regards to whether he's going to be back. He's got a year left on his deal. What do you make of this, though? You think if they wanted to fire him, like, they could have done it right away? Or are they waiting until after the postseason to not be a distraction? Or do they have a candidate in mind they want to see? Like, who gets eliminated in the Cup Finals, and maybe somebody comes available?
Here's what I think. I think that it begins with the point Courtney made on the Greg Hill Show, which was, where are the players who say positive things about Cassidy? This is weeks ago, where we all were talking about, you know, do they like playing for him? You know, is he going to be the fall guy, whatever? Well, now we are 72 hours removed from the Bruins press conference. Has there been a single peep out of anywhere Neely's out of it? Like, what is he doing? I mean, anywhere, in any way, in any capacity. Has anybody stepped forward, not in the media, in the NHL, and said, Neely's wrong, these players like playing for him?
Yeah, he's...
But
I don't think they hate him. I don't think he's like... There are some coaches that, obviously, Tortorella, there are others who, you know, the players hate him.
Okay, Cassidy has been in the wind, man. I mean, Neely really only mentioned one person who could lose his job right now. It wasn't Sweeney. We're doing a new contract. We're getting that done.
Yeah.
I'm obvious. Neely, he's not leaving. He's making these decisions. So, and they're both, you know, they spoke about wanting Bergeron to stick around, figure out, you know, whatever. There's one person that's been in the wind, and that's Cassidy.
Yeah.
And there has been nothing from anyone.
Well, they must be waiting for Bergeron. My only thing is
Why wouldn't someone say, "Hey, it's the easiest thing. You don't have to. You text Haggerty and you're like, "Hey, too bad." No, I'm serious. Too bad what they said about about coach, like, you know, this isn't on him. We could have played better. Something to that effect.
Because he might be gone. I get the feeling.
But if he's gone, you still look like a good guy, right? What's the downside?
Back.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the downside if you say, hey, you know, I understand what Cam's saying, but this is on us. Like, what's the downside?
It's not a good sign. And Greg had pretty good intel from his barber that there was an issue between Bergeron and the coach this year with how he treated some of the guys in the room. Whether that's 100% true or not, it appears like he and DeBrusque had an issue. He's had issues with several players.
Yep.
And bottom line, when it's counted, the offense has not risen to the occasion under his watch. He's a pretty good coach. A lot of people thought it was a mistake to fire Claude, but it turned out to be a great move. But now, what is it, 5 years later, it feels like they need a change. Unless, you know what the thing might be? If Bergeron retires, they might just feel like it's not worth it. We're not going to win next year. We might as well ride Cassidy out for a year and find the proper next guy.
What?
I think that's what it is. I think if Bergeron comes back, they fire the coach and try it with a new guy.
But, okay, let's say that that's the case. That seems like the one thing that Bergeron would not return over. Like, he would look like a dink. Why would Bergeron want to be the guy that they had to fire the coach for him to return?
He wouldn't say that.
But if you're saying that that's the sticking point, that I would have fired him right now. What's the downside? You have to pay him, what, $2 million?
Well.
No, I'm serious. Like, if your goal is to bring back Bergeron.
But you believe, like, Kraft counts the money for his coaches. I mean, $2 million is $2 million for these owners.
I believe the Jacobs definitely count the money. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying if your goal is to have Bergeron return, and the way you get Bergeron to return is to remove the head coach, then I would remove the head coach.
Well, I think they've done enough here by casting doubt over it but Bergeron knows if he wants him gone, we'll fire him for you.
I know, but that just seems like the last thing that Bergeron would want any part of.
Yeah, but he's not really part of it. They've made him separate from it. And then if Bergeron retires, which he might, then you're like, all right, we're going to ride Bruce out.
But then if I'm Bruce, why do I want to coach 1 year where I'm a lame duck anyway?
Well, he's no choice. He's under contract. What's he going to do? Quit?
I mean, I don't know. Do you want a coach that's not invested?
Yeah, do you want to make a couple million dollars as an NHL paycheck?
If Cassidy's fired, he'll get a job tomorrow.
Mm.
Yep.
I don't know about that.
Mark my words.
I mean, I guess so. He's been a pretty good coach.
I mean, the guy that does the trots is getting 15 jobs. Torts has had 17 jobs. NHL coaches have jobs for life.
It is interesting, though, the fact that there was a non-support. I don't know what you want to call it.
Oh, my God. Like, he threw him completely under the bus.
Not completely.
Ken, who else did he criticize at that press conference?
Well, nobody. Certainly not Sweeney.
Okay, so the one person who's toiling in the wind is the head coach of the hockey team.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's gone, but it's not 100%. And Bergeron, I have no idea. Does anybody know if he's coming back? Nobody seems to know.
No. I mean, Tony Amonte had the half-cocked theory that he was going to Montreal, which was fun for a day.
No. But if Bergeron retires, they're in tough shape.
If you're in tough shape, then you do a whole clean out. If Cassidy's under contract, maybe you get a fourth-round pick for him. I don't know if you can trade head coaches.
But they have to be begging Bergeron just one more year because they have a good enough team to win with him, but if he retires, they're like in total no man's land, in the middle. They're not bad enough to suck and trade off parts, but they're not good enough to compete by any stretch.
But do you think if they return everything as is and change the coach that they're a cup contender next year?
Yes, they could be. Yep.
So right now, are they better than the Hurricanes?
Yes. I don't know. Yes. They might have been a coach away from winning that series.
So then why are you bringing them back in any situation?
Well, I'm just saying if Bergeron's done, then you're done. So what's the point? It's like a rebuild year.
Right. So why wouldn't you bring in a coach that would be in charge of evaluating the rebuild?
Maybe they'll do that too. I don't know.
But I said if they don't make it to the cup, Cassidy's out. Everybody said I was a boob. Here it is.
Well, you are a boob. But here's John in Maine. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I think that there's nothing wrong with Marcus Smart being the leader of this team. That doesn't mean he has to take the last shot of the game. I think he's been the leader of this team for a long time, and that's part of the reason why they've made it to the Eastern Conference Finals four times. I think, is it four times now with him on the team?
And, three, I think.
Three? Okay, I thought this was the fourth.
I'll check.
Anyway, I think Curtis is right. They are on the cusp of being, one of those teams that, a dynasty team for the next 5 or 10 years. If they can keep Tatum, Brown, and Smart together, this is no longer a cute little team. This team is here to stay for a long time if they can keep that core together.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is with John is that almost every time now, it's like when the horse wins the Kentucky Derby. It's like, is this the horse to win the Triple Crown? Unfortunately, this year that horse isn't even running in the next one. But anyway, when you have a young roster with a young superstar and you win a championship in the NBA, the immediate conversation is, can they win multiple? Because it's the last remaining sport where it's relatively common for teams to win consecutive championships.
And by the way, it is four for Smart. I didn't think he was on that 16-17 team, but he was, so good.
Yeah, I mean, there's really very little comparison. And you have to say that with the doing back the 0-1 Patriots versus this team, that would be like removing Jason Tatum and putting in his backup to take over. You know, like, there was such a huge change to the 0-1 team that was such an unknown that led to that title that made it so out of left field, even up to and including the AFC Championship, where the starter goes back in, wins the game, and then back to the bench for the Super Bowl just in time for you to win that championship.
You don't think the Peyton Pritchard story is more remarkable than Brady?
I do. I would put it on my sports Mount Rushmore. I would put Peyton Pritchard, Tom Brady, and a picture of Bruce Cassidy.
Red Sox baseball today, Curtis, and that is coming up 4:10 first pitch today, right?
Yep. What do you make of all these baseball random streaming time, like Sunday 11
yeah,
o'clock?
All over the place.
What is going on?
Keep you on your toes. But your 17-22 Sox have Garrett Whitlock, the phenom, on the mound today. By the way, you can listen to the Red Sox on your phone on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Network. It streams throughout New England. Download the Odyssey app, save WEI as a favorite, and listen wherever you go. And our man Nick LaPan has more on that pitching matchup today and what else is trending right now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
All right. right, it is Ken and Curtis here on your Saturday. We are at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Come on down and say hello if you are on Lansdowne Street. Peek through the window and creepily stare at Curtis because he loves that. It's his favorite thing. We already had Michael the Sausage Guy do that earlier in the show. Bradfo stopped by. Andy Hart is here, an extended crossover, Curtis, because he's on top of the hour with Fitzy.
All right.
1 to 3:10 today. And I know that Andy Hart agrees with me because I heard him on the great schedule release show that Kyrie Thompson joined with Mutt, and you guys had a great theory that the Joe Judge drama is all a smokescreen for the Nick Cayley offensive coordinator ascension. I love that theory, and I'm riding it.
I am trying to talk myself into it, hopeful. And I know, Curtis, you think maybe I take snakes this?
No, no, not this. You did the Cam Newton comparison.
Oh, but I think it's all a bait and switch. It's all a Belichickian, Wizard of Oz, man behind the curtain, look over here so you don't pay attention to what's over there.
I love it because I can't imagine how bad this could be with actually going with the two men they have currently in those roles. So I would love for you to be right. It just would strike me as such a clear admission from Bill that he cares a lot about what we say.
Well, but we know he cares a lot about what we say. It's why I had to listen to Matt Patricia and Joe Judge back-to-back days. That's the only reason you make your coordinators available back-to-back days is you're trying to manipulate the assistants must be available twice, and you do. He's done it before. I use the example.
Is there a time limit on that, by the way? Curtis was asking why they made him available so long. Or no, he just went long.
No, he just went long. I mean, if you listen to the Joe Judge one, I believe his phrase was, sorry about the dissertation on nothing. He realized he was sounding stupid and right. That he was just talking for the sake of talking. Patricia didn't say, what, 10% maybe of what Joe Judge did? And I know he's fresh off being a head coach. He did press conferences every week.
What's with the pencil still? Like, I know I
get
hung up.
It's a signature look. God.
Yeah. A signature look? Does the worst coach in basketball have a signature look?
Wow. Is Matt Patricia the worst coach in the NFL?
The worst head coach.
Well, Joe Judge would like to.
I mean,
hold my beer, Matt.
I mean, read the Detroit Free Press. Read the quotes of the people around the Lions when Matt Patricia was finally unceremoniously fired.
But how many bad coaches have the Lions right. had? He's just one of a string.
A lot of teams have had a lot of. The one thing
the guy that eats kneecaps is an improvement.
Yes. But the one thing I'll push back against, I think it was Orlovsky when he went on his rant talking about this Patriots offensive staff is the biggest story of the offseason, disservice to Mac, that whole thing. And he said, they're both failed coaches. They're failed head coaches. They both got to be head coaches because they were pretty good coordinators. Now, you can pick about Patricia and the Super Bowl. And the last time we saw him, he was giving up, you know, a Super Bowl title to Nick Foles, that whole story.
Yep.
But they did ascend to a certain level of competency as assistants. That doesn't make them capable offensive assistants. That's where the train goes off the tracks.
Well, there's a current need for what Joe Judge used to do on the Patriots. And that's special teams coordinator.
Yes.
Cam McCord has been a debacle. They had three punts blocked last year. Absolute disaster area for what is usually a strength. Why wouldn't you replace a strength with a strength? Well, or replace a weakness with a clear strength?
But
in
that's
that exact
what they're doing. That's the point. Judge is the special teams coach. They just don't want to embarrass him by saying that.
So then why is he working with Mac Jones? He just said, point blank, I'm going to be honest. I'm working with Mac Jones, and I'll be in the quarterback room. I want him. Curtis, you're 100%.
I feel like I'm hanging out with Alex Jones.
Did you guys used to do the thing at your locker in like high school where you leave it on the lat? Like, so you just turn it a little bit, and it opens.
Yep.
You don't have to go through the back, forth, back.
Yep.
Doesn't that feel like this? What this coaching staff is? The dial just needs to be turned a little bit. Put right. Patricia on defense, put Joe Judge on special teams, and
Kaylee,
then
whoever,
Bill. Because right. now you say, whoa, we got two former head coaches. In their areas of expertise, I can let them be. Like Josh was called the head coach of the offense last year. Right, everybody, he's the CEO of the offense, right. Josh, Mac, the whole thing.
Opened his world to him.
Is it that hard to just, did you say robe or world?
Both. I mean, right now, Ken Spitt got his robe open over there.
Jesus. But that's what it feels like, just the dial, click it, and then
not
we're good.
Not if it's a bridge year to Bill O'Brien, and you don't care what happens this year, and so you're just giving your boys a couple of experiences.
Wait, it could still be a bridge year with Bill overseeing the offense, couldn't right. it?
It might be that.
Why would you have all this wasted energy into nonsense?
And forget energy. I believe I've been told, correct me if I'm wrong, that one of the most important things in all of sports is a really good quarterback on a rookie contract.
That is what I was told over and over again.
Okay. Well, in year two of Mac Jones, a Pro Bowl rookie quarterback, you're just bridging to another year till you can get Billy O'Brien. We're just going to spin our tires and run in place. Right.
Well, that two things. One, this is the one conspiracy theory that I will actually fully on board with today is, I believe it was Gasper first. I never know who's first to say things, but it wasn't my idea. Where that it was a performance from Robert Kraft at the owners' meetings in Florida, this disdain that he opened with his anger about the team, he wasn't even asked about it, that was all BS. That was him trying to sound like an angry fan, when in reality he's handed the keys to Bill, no questions asked.
Well, he loves to be an angry fan. He loves to remind you he sat on the metal bench seats of Foxborough Stadium. Right. I'm a fan first and an owner second. Yes, no question.
So that I think that may be coming to fruition here. Secondly, if you and Mutt did a show instead of the scheduled release show, it was, how are we going to replace McDaniel's show in February? And you said, hey, let's have some fun here. I want everybody's best idea for the right coordinator to come here and take the reins with the Patriots' most important asset on the field, Mac Jones. You could have done a show for 30 consecutive hours, and not a single person would call with either Joe Judge or Matt Patricia to hold that job.
You can go check the tapes. Go back to early Merlone and Fourier. I brought up Matt Patricia.
Whoa.
Simply because one reason, not because I thought it was a good idea, because I know how Bill thinks. I know how Bill thinks, promote from within, guys in my world, and he looks at it from a, I don't even know if I want to call it analytical perspective. Matt Patricia's called plays. He's thought about it just in the mirror. He's thought about it a million times. What he's going to call, why he's calling it, because what the offense is going to do, he can call offensive plays.
Right.
I didn't say it was a good idea when I brought it up, and I'm pretty sure Fourier and Merlone both laughed at me.
That is a fair point. And I would say that Patricia, because he was so closely tied to Bill since his firing with the Lions, that's a fair point. I wouldn't have thought of it. Good on you.
Didn't say it was a good idea, by the way.
But Joe Judge, nobody would have ever said in a million years.
No.
I mean, the fact that his final act as a football coach before getting this job was kneeing on third down and then in the post-game press conference saying, quote, we never quit.
But if Judge is just the quarterback's coach and Patricia's calling plays, that will be less bad, right? That would be more palatable?
Not really.
No?
Why do
you
I
just,
want Patricia
You just
calling
made a case for Patricia. You said it makes some sense.
He understands it.
Trying to sit in Bill's
seat. This texter, 857, Patricia was a defensive coordinator. He knows how to set up offenses. He game planned against them.
Yeah. Ooh, tech 207, I love this idea, just for us. Urban Meyer, let's bring him in.
Oh, boy.
No, offensive genius.
That was in response to the worst coach of all time. Because you said Patricia was the worst coach of all time. But Urban Meyer is the clear answer to that question right now.
Well, there's others. Bobby Petrino.
Okay, well, how many national championships has Patricia won?
Well, if we were in college, I'd hire him.
But I'm telling you, I mean, as a football coach, Patricia is a worse coach than Urban Meyer.
But Urban Meyer can recruit. That's his one strength.
Right.
And that doesn't help you in New England.
No, I agree. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but if you were to go
Urban
ask
Meyer
America.
Urban Meyer didn't know who Aaron Donald was. I think we've established who the worst coach in NFL history was.
So in football history, you think that Matt Patricia is a better head coach than Urban Meyer?
Yes, he's a champion.
I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL.
Urban Meyer's a champion.
Not at the NFL level.
If Urban Meyer had been an assistant for Bill Belichick, he'd have a ring.
I mean, listen, I hate Urban Meyer. He's a total ass, so I don't know why I'm defending him. But I want to get your thoughts, Andy. I don't know if we have it, Nick, ready, but I found this Bedard report to be so cringe-inducing.
You're hitting Andy where he's sensitive.
Oh, you're Bedard, buddy?
No.
Oh.
No.
I found it to be like, you're hearing, quote, countless people.
I don't want to make a huge deal out of this yet, because let's keep in mind, this is a completely new regime on the offensive side of the ball. They could be doing things a different way, and there could be a lot of people who aren't used to the new way things are going to be done, and maybe they might be better. I'm allowing for that. But so far, I mean, I have countless people who have either been with the Patriots or are hearing from players on the team who they are alarmed to this point, and they've barely done anything so far, Trenny. And so they are really worried about the direction of the offense, where this is going, especially off of what a lot of people heard. A lot of people around the NFL listened to what Joe Judge said the other day, and almost all of them were like, what? What is he talking about? And so there is a high level of concern about what's going on with the Patriots.
But is the high level of concern internal? I have trouble kind of getting through all those words there.
Everybody does, yeah.
And finding out, because I think
sources.
Outside of Gillette Stadium, everybody agrees. It looks ridiculous, right? It's confounding. It's whatever adjective you want to use there.
But everybody outside felt that way before Joe Judge talked.
Correct.
So then that's what I don't understand. Like, if you're, as I said earlier, if you work for the Packers and you're a scout there and you're an area scout, whatever, and Bedard knows you, and you reach out to him, he would have had the same opinion before and after that. Like, the second they hired Joe Judge, my guess is he's kind of a laughingstock around the NFL for how things ended. He had his job. He just decided to take a knee and lie about it afterwards, and then he lost it.
Well, I would say the one thing I took negatively away from Judge, beyond the words, just words, 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 talk, talk, talk,
yep,
was he kept saying, you know, I've been a play caller, and when Scotty O'Brien was the special teams play caller, I always prepared myself. Like, he doesn't actually think deciding whether we're going left return or right return or punt block right, punt block left is the same as, like, a 12-play drive in the final 2 minutes with the game on the line, does he?
Right,
he doesn't feel like he's actually considered that crucible that is the play-calling duties on offense.
Right.
Well, I mean, Josh McDaniels has been a play caller for, whatever it is, 17 years.
Yep.
And I can tell you, gets shredded on a weekly basis, Mud at Night. You know, we're doing the Mondays after the game. Just gets some people think he was a horrific play caller.
Yep.
And Joe Judge thinks, well, I called a couple returns a couple years ago. Now I'm ready for this job. Even Bill has told you that it's an art. Like, there's a gut to it. There's a feeling and experience. He doesn't have any of that. And for him to allude that he kind of has that on some level, even if he was the head coach and kind of talking in the ear of Jason Garrett, it didn't work.
Right.
They were terrible.
It's like Patricia saying he made the call about right. Butler when we all saw the do your job, and it was Ernie Adams who diagrammed right. that play that they ran at training camp.
So, that was the one thing I took away from Judge, kind of insinuating that he has some experience thinking about play.
Right.
No. Sorry, just, you're a special teams
coordinator. There's no there with Joe Judge.
Nothing. A lot of words. Yep. A lot of words.
Ooh, we like words.
Ken and Curtis, we are at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Andy Hart, our special guest here this hour. Fitzy and Hart coming up at 1 o'clock today. Of course, Celtics game 3 tonight. If you're just joining us, the news is, it appears, Kyle Lowry and P.J. Tucker will play. At least they intend to play. They will warm up with the intent to play tonight. One last football thing before we get over to the Celtics, Andy. Last year, I give you a lot of credit.
Uh-oh.
You spotted the Mac Jones story developing around, it was not this early, but somewhere in
June
the summer.
June 16th, I believe I took Ooh. Credit for saying he was going to be the starting quarterback.
That was a great call by you. You said it on Gresham
Today
Keefe,
was the
I
day
believe.
Mac Jones became the Patriots starter.
Great, great Andy Hart moment. Today was the day Mac Jones became the starter. Cam was still here before all the drama, before you got fired.
Yep.
Now, what will we find out in the next 2 weeks at OTAs? Will you be able to tell who the play caller is, and, like, will there be a signature moment of the next few weeks?
My guess is no, that we won't be able to tell. We have our first access Monday.
Yep. Belichick speaks.
Belichick speaks. He will say, he will certainly not tell us. He'll do what he did at the owners' meetings. They'll all be involved, and they're good coaches. And
I'm looking forward to Bedard's question about what he reported over the week.
Bill, yeah, that's an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Bedard doesn't go to those, does he?
He actually doesn't a lot. That now that you say that.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Bedard, I go down there. That's a whopper, man. I would ask that question and see the response. But I think the element of the offseason that I find so fascinating is that not only is Joe Judge not the special teams coordinator when it comes to the staff, he recommended the dunce who's the special teams coordinator who worked for him at Mississippi State or Southern Miss or whatever the hell it was. Cam Accord was hired because Joe Judge told Bill to hire him. So not only is he on his staff, he's giving recommendations that have failed miserably.
Well, using that logic, Bill's terrible at recommendations too, because he's recommending people for all kinds of jobs they fail at.
And it's almost like all these people don't have one thing, and I don't know what it is. I think it's in Tampa.
Don't say it. Oh, you had to go there.
He called him a dunce.
Yeah.
Got a little personal there.
Cam McCord, have you read up on him? He's a dunce.
Looks like a nice fellow.
I mean, how do you draft all these players and build depth at special teams and have 3 block punts in a season?
Can we go over to another dunce, and that is Danny Ainge, and the credit he does or does not deserve for the Celtics team. We got into this earlier, Andy, and it got into a Bill Parcells comparison.
Okay.
Curtis likens him to Parcells and the credit he does or doesn't deserve for building the 0-1 Patriots on the start of the dynasty. But Fourier yesterday, great job, says that Ainge deserves zero credit. He chose to leave. He left this team in the lurch. He went to Utah. He's the CEO there. He didn't trade. He didn't do anything the last, like, 10 years here. He was Trader Danny who didn't make trades. When he did, they were generally bad. He drafted well, yes. He drafted Tatum. Obviously, that's a big deal. He had some good
Tatum,
drafts.
Tatum, Brown, Smart,
yes,
Williams.
Yes. But
Williams.
Bulk of the credit of this team, if they go on to win a title, will Ainge be even in the top 3, 4, or 5 credit pies that you hand out?
Are players included in that? Everybody involved?
Yeah, everybody.
Then no. He shouldn't be. I mean, he won't be.
Was Parcells in 01?
No, I don't. That was a talking point. It was sort of a talking point of some of the anti-Belichick people. And
yep.
Kind
Al Frembert. Right. Every day.
Depending on where your roots were in your loyalties in Patriot Nation. But the reality is he did draft the whole team, right? I mean, Al Horford, if it's
Derek White.
Okay, Derek White and Al Horford. Yeah, I'm not a big Derek White guy myself. I have another baby. That's fine with me.
And Tice.
That's fine.
And Tice, damn it. They brought Tice back.
Yeah, so they made a couple moves. But, again, this team is built around. We see what worked the other night. Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Grant Williams. It's all draft picks.
Yeah.
So there's credit to be given there. I don't know which percentage, if you want to put out a little Twitter poll, and what percentage does Danny Ainge get, but he drafted this team. Now,
but they sort of succeeded despite him. He was the Kemba guy. He was the Kyrie guy. He was the Gordon Hayward guy.
How can you succeed despite him when he drafted Jalen and Jason?
Right.
He gave up assets for all these things.
Okay, where would the Celtics be right now without those two players?
Yeah, but they might have won a title 2 years ago.
If this team didn't have those two players, but is there any shot they make the playoffs?
No, of course not.
So then what are you talking about?
Well, he deserves some credit, but he also almost mangled it. Wick has succeeded.
But what you're saying right now is, like, let's say you, as the operations manager 30 years ago at WFAN, hired Mike and the Mad Dog, but you didn't hire the Schmooze at night.
Well, Schmooze is a big factor.
Mike and the Mad Dog in the 90s at WFAN are Jalen and Jason right now with the Celtics. Whoever hired them deserves the credit.
Right. Didn't I just hear you guys saying they're a dynasty because of those guys?
Yes.
They're a budding dynasty?
Burgeoning. Yep. They're on the way.
Burgeoning.
So you give
let's
Ainge
see if they win anything first.
You put him like top billing. Ainge built this team.
Here's the way I would like to say it, very, very politically. I believe that this Celtics team would not be here without Brad Stevens, but they wouldn't have been a contender at all without Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge got the key parts. Brad Stevens hired the right coach. That is number one with the bullet, whether it's Wick or Brad, who cares? They both did it. They got Ime, which kept Jason, got him invested. They figured out a way to remove Kemba, who was a disaster, from Danny, and bring in Al Horford. That was a huge person off the floor as well as on it in the playoffs. So I believe they are a contender because of Brad. They are here because of Danny.
All right. Kenny Curtis with Andy Hart. One more segment, and then Fitzy joins Hart from 1 to 3. Sox lineup is out. I know you've been waiting for it.
Where's Grelick?
You can't get it anywhere else. We will give that to you next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're back. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
And Hart on the way, top of the hour. It is the Ken and Curtis Show on location, Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. First full show here in a while. Curtis will be here before every weekend home game.
I like it.
You're popular. We've had several sketchy people in the windows.
Can any, I just fingers? Say, any fingers? Any fingers?
Just two. They're from Ken, but
like Tom Brady at the TV.
I just go double barrel.
Before we get out of here.
It hasn't been a good offseason for Tom, I got to tell you. Did you see the Hertz commercial, Ken?
No, I didn't.
He did this one where he's like...
he has a Hertz commercial now?
Yeah, about Boston. I don't know. It was like... he's like acting like he has a Boston accent. It's really...
Was that awkward. This week? I was going to give him credit, actually, for not having seen him this week. Like, thank God he disappeared for a week.
Yeah.
Ever since he left, he just won't go away. Like, we see him more now than when he was here.
That is a fair point.
Like, the preacher's daughter, like, he got a little freedom, and he just won't stop.
I'm nervous about Brady and Greg with the Bitcoin. They're both deeply invested.
Good luck with that.
I'm going to give you a quick Wrigley-Fenway thought in a moment, because I promised that earlier in the show.
I want to do that right now. No shot you can compare Wrigley.
What do you mean?
Awful compared to Fenway. Not even in the same stratosphere.
That's his unbiased opinion.
Yes.
What a hot take. But anyway, can I give the Red Sox lineup first?
Okay. Can we get Drellick, please?
Yeah. Where's Drellick?
Nick?
Nick doesn't have it ready.
Okay.
All right. Fine. Everybody's healthy. Bogey had a collision last night, but he's fine. Batting cleanup today. Verdugo's back in there. No problem. So, Kike, Devers, JD. Bogarts, Verdugo, Story batting sixth today. Franchi, Vasquez, JBJ, Whitlock on the mound. Good lineup today.
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
There we
Thank
go.
Thank you.
There we go. That's a good lineup for a 410 steamy day at the park today.
What a perfect day. By the way, if you're coming to the game, bring a snowball photo, a T-shirt, anything. Wiggy will be here signing autographs if you see him.
Patriots legend. Just like last night, the ball was caught in the monster seats by Red Sox legend Johnny Gomes.
Is that really what ESPN referred to him as?
The headline said, Sox legend catches Story grand slam.
I mean, you have Story in the name, and you go with Sox legend Johnny Gomes. Total whiff.
And I didn't need to see his belly.
Yeah, that was an awkward scene. Just a weird guy, all in all. By the way, I said this to Bradfo off the air. The best Johnny Gomes moment was after they beat the Cardinals in the World Series in 2013. Ken Rosenthal blows his spot up by saying, Johnny, you just told me to ask you about your war. And he had this, like, it's not war. You win with, I'll go to war with you. And it was so bad. Anyway.
He lost his glove. We call that a yard sale right there.
Okay, we do. Ken, so you were at Wrigley this past week.
Wrigley. Now, are you being serious, or were you just
hand to God.
So you hate Wrigley?
I went to Wrigley. I had my bachelor party out there. Two of my best friends lived in Chicago for a while. I used to go out there all the time. Around Wrigley, phenomenal.
See, but that's what I came away disagreeing. Like, I thought the first time I went to Wrigley, I loved the surrounding area. I thought overrated this time. A lot of construction there. The Cubby Bear is, like, falling on hard times.
Okay, I haven't been there. Well, all of Chicago's kind of fallen on hard times. But, yeah, I haven't been there since 2015-ish. So.
I think Fenway is now better around the park, and I give Wrigley the slight edge inside.
Oh, God.
It's pretty good in there.
Nobody watches the game. It's awful. People just get that, what is it, Old City? What's it called? Old Milwaukee? Whatever the beer they have, they all walk around with. They just plant themselves next to guys, and they just have cases of beer.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that's great, but I could do that in a park. I don't have to do it at Wrigley Field. And the actual sight lines, they never play replays. You can't.
That is weird. Yeah, you have to focus on the center field scoreboard, which is, they got the flags, so it's kind of historic.
The in-game experience at Wrigley is not even, the highlight is singing the effing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Well, that's good. 10? And Go Cubs Go after the win, which is a good song by Steve Goodman. It's much better than the Red Sox.
Better than
song.
Standel's Dirty Water? No way.
Yeah, it's better. I gave Wrigley slight edge inside. Fenway actually, give John Henry credit, built up better around the park.
You know me, a guy that's a honk for the Red Sox. I am telling you, Fenway Park experience is not even in the same stratosphere. You go to Wrigley, you're sitting at a crappy old municipal stadium where there's like a little bit of, what's it called?
No, it's
ivy
good.
On the fence.
No, it's cool. It's cool in there. But both parks are great. The new Comiskey, whatever it is, guaranteed rate, is just a total meh. It's just a cookie-cutter nothing burger. Not even worth going to.
Why do the two teams in Chicago also? Like, I feel like it's barely supporting one. I don't know. The White Sox feel like they've been another decent now, but, like,
yeah,
who's the guy that owns
North
the
side,
team?
South side.
That was the guy that hated Jordan, right? Doesn't he still own the
Reinsdorf?
No.
Yeah, Reinsdorf.
Yeah, Reinsdorf.
Very odd.
Anyway.
And it's like a 55,000-seat stadium, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
And it's got, what, 1,500?
But the Red Sox are out there this week. That'll be their last tough series, and then they get 10 against pretty bad competition. So they're going to turn this around, Curtis. You feeling this, Andy? You buying into the Sox turnaround?
I'm starting to buy into it a little bit. I had Alex Speer on the broadcast last night. I don't know if you guys watched that, about all the playoff teams and wildcard teams that at some point in their season has a 6-23 stretch or whatever the Sox had. It's just, it looks worse because it's the beginning of the year and you don't have some built-up cachet to fall back on. He sold me. They're scoring runs. I think today they're going to go plus in the run differential ratio. So, like, he's starting to feel it a little bit. I'm not so negative about Story. I'm such a sucker, too.
Yeah.
I was like, that was a terrible signing. You're running Bogey out of town. He hits four home runs, and I'm like, yeah, what a story. Hell of a story.
But we actually mentioned this briefly, and I'm with you, Andy. I was saying the exact same thing, and now I'm like the fraud saying, woohoo.
It's unreal. We're such simpletons. Like, just perform on the field, and we forget everything else. And I know Manny was the classic example, but it's really everyone.
Right.
You can be the biggest tool or a-hole or push our favorite player out of town, but if you perform on the field, you're my guy.
Yeah, I mean, we loved John Lackey at the end.
Right.
Was there a bigger dink on the planet?
You're such an embarrassment.
But Ken, the two home runs from Story in the game they were trailing 4-0 in, that was right before the Celtics tipped in game two, that felt like, oh God, if they start losing to the Mariners, this, you know, they had just taken 2 or 3.
Yeah.
You're feeling slightly good about the team, and then they're in a 4-0 hole, and it felt like that was a swing game right
and
there.
I believe they're 4 games out of the wild card. Like, that's modern baseball. Like, you can be terrible and then sort of not be terrible for a little bit, and you're right back in it, in contention.
And we get a 1-game playoff again. I think that's the best night in baseball. You know, I hope they get to the playoffs and win, but the 1-game playoff against the Yankees last year remains the best game they've had in several years.
Yeah, and the Yankees being good doesn't hurt for a little drama in the...
and all the pressure, if they were to ever meet up again in the playoffs, all the pressure in the world is on the Yankees right now.
Must win for the Yankees the way they're playing.
What is Judge going to get as a free agent if he keeps us up, Ken?
Oh, God.
Because he turned down, what was it, like $300 million?
Yeah. Somebody will pay him that. Too many DHs these days.
No, but like he's increased his value, hasn't he?
Right. Oh, it's going to be a $400 million. Because you're right, the adding a DH in the other half of the league, like the business opportunities, it's a buffet, just pick and choose.
Yep. A little bit of breaking news from the Celtics. It's not great breaking news. Not sure, Nick, if it's too quick to play the breaking news sound, or don't worry about it if you don't have it. Celtics have announced Robert Williams is questionable tonight with left knee soreness. That's an update to their injury post shoot around.
Don't tell them that.
Not what we're looking for.
So, boy, you get Kyle Lowry back and you lose Robert Williams. Now, series is back on. The series.
You're at home.
What? I can't even remember a postseason with this many ebbs and flows where it's like things start, like heading into game two. Before we knew Horford was going to play, we saw Derek Knight flying, or Derek Knight, Jesus, BC Derek running White. Back, Derek White flying back to Boston.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my God, the world's ending. And then all of a sudden, Horford played and they won by 20.
Right, and you're going to win the championship.
Right, and then now you're feeling good about yourself, then Lowry's playing, and now Robert Williams is out.
I feel like the Lowry thing was kind of forgotten. Like, we were so fixated on who was and wasn't playing for the Celtics that you kind of just let it fall under the narrative that, yeah, they have an all-star that's out. They have a really important player who's out, too, that could affect this series.
So this series will never be over. You can never declare it over because you never know which Celtic will not play on a given night.
And it was old style old is the style. Beer.
Thank you. That's the one.
Old style?
Yeah, I never had it. It looked like water.
It's probably terrible. Most of those things that are like, oh, you just do it because that's what you do.
Right. Summer Shandy I had was a great beer. Leinenkugel. Check that out if you're out at Wrigley Field. That is a beer. I had several of them.
I have some meetings I can set you up with, Ken.
All right, Hart and Fitzy. Fitzy and Hart on the way next. Also, those two guys, kudos to them. The revamped, renovated Six Rings podcast twice a week, 45 minutes an episode. Yes, very good listen. Good job on that, Andy.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Having
it.
Having fun with it. I like pushing Fitzy's buttons. He's billed as the homer, and so far through this offseason, I'm not sure. I think he's struggling to fulfill his duties in that role.
I actually do miss that greatly, pushing Fitzy's buttons. It's very fun. It's not that hard.
It's so easy. It's so easy. It's just this massive button, and you just kind of
take it easy
on
my man. All right, he'll be joining you next, 1-3, and then Barrett's in here for pregame at 3:10, 4:10 first pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Network. Curtis, talk to you Monday.
All right, take care. Tigers 12 over. Sorry.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.